to listen to last week's message. I think it's a very helpful message to help us to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say to us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I asked last night how many had started reading John chapter 6, the verses that Christine sent out, verses 48 to 69. And I think you will find them very helpful in understanding, especially in light of last week's message. How many have read them? Has anyone read them? Found something very interesting about it. That in verse 48, where Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life," and he talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and so many people had difficulty with that, trying to understand what that meant, to the point where the Bible actually says many of his disciples left him and turned away from him. And it was just quite interesting last night, just dropped into me, into my spirit, why that happened. And the key to this passage is in verse 63. And I told him last night, it's actually very, very simple. Jesus was speaking spirit, and they were listening flesh. And that's why none of them understood. Nor did they, many of them, persevere, because what they did is they turned away from him and said, "It's too difficult. It's too difficult." But if you're going to understand the Spirit of God, if you're going to follow God, you're going to have to learn to speak spirit, because that's what God speaks. That's where he imparts his revelations. That's where faith is birthed, is in your spirit. And so we want to continue this week talking about that, about entering into the thought flow, really, of the Holy Spirit. What is he thinking? Because the Spirit of God is filled with wisdom. Now, the Bible calls God's Word a seed. And did I bring the stuff? Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. I want to give you an example of something. I need a table. Pretty sturdy one. So I'll roll this over. The Bible calls the Word of God a seed. And most of us know what a seed is. We've seen seeds of one type or another. Sometimes it's helpful to see an illustration. Yeah, just put it... Okay. Give me a couple. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Okay, now, I'm not sure what kind of seed this is. What kind is it?
Bean.
A what?
A bean.
It's a bean seed. Okay. I have a look at it. It's a bean seed.
Flower.
Oh, wow.
Flower.
If you're into beans, here you go. Now, here is the problem, that when we read Scripture, when we look at Bible verses, and we see that the Bible talks about taking a seed and planting it. If we plant the seed, Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, we plant the seed, that it will produce. However, if we take the seed out of its context, and by that I mean everybody has their favorite scriptures, and if you take that scripture out of the context to fit what you want to believe and think, what we're doing is this. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Now, the question is, what happens now if I plant this?
It won't grow.
What's going to happen to it?
It will die.
Is it going to produce anything?
No.
No. Why not?
It's crushed.
Damage is DNA.
Because it's been broken. It's been taken apart. So if I plant this one, I'll get something, whatever it is. In this case, it's a bean. But if I plant this one here, and that's where sometimes we miss it, is that we take a portion of Scripture and we plant that portion of it in our hearts, believing it to be accurate. But in fact, it's not. And then we wonder, why isn't this producing something? Because the image that's in this bean, that God put in this bean, the image that's in this bean no longer exists once it's shattered. It just doesn't exist anymore. It has become nothing. And no matter how hard we water it and do all the crap that you do to get these things to grow, it won't grow. It won't grow. Because that's not the way nature and God intended it for to be. That seed has an image on the inside of it, and God made it to be like that. God made it to be like that. If it gets watered and planted and cared for, the Bible says it'll grow all by itself. That's in, I believe it's in Mark. Let me just make sure here. Mark chapter 4. Verse 28. Well, 26. The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter or plant or sow a seed in the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Well, that's true, because I haven't got a clue how it works. However, first the blade yields crops by itself. For the earth, rather, yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain of the head. That's how the Word of God is. If we will plant the seed the way it is, in its proper context, it will, in due course, I think you're getting a bit of feedback there. It will in due course produce the fruit of the image of what the seed is to be. And when we approach scriptures, when we read the Bible, there's an image that the Holy Spirit planted in that word, in that portion of scripture. There's an image there that God himself has put in. But if we take that word, that portion of scripture, and we start to build our own doctrines on that particular verse, it's not going to produce, probably, the image that God intended for it to produce. Because we need to understand how the Word of God works and what is the river of that portion of Scripture. For example, in John chapter 6, the portion of Scripture there, the river there, is that Jesus speaks spirit. His words are spirit. If we don't get that river, if we don't understand that that's how he's speaking, then we're going to take the words that he says and interpret them in our flesh, in our mind, in our soul, and we will shatter the image. Taking isolated Bible verses, for example, Luke 14, 26 says that if you want to come to Christ, you have to hate your parents, your brothers, and your sisters. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because God is a God of love. So what's he saying? What is he actually trying to say in that verse? And hopefully we all know the answer to that, so I won't have to go into it. But another one that's quite interesting is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, 35. It talks about how women have to keep silent in the church, not allowed to speak. But my favorite one here, I believe, is, I think it's 1 Peter. And it just shows the how the church itself hasn't interpreted the word of God properly. Let's make sure this is the right one. No, that's 2 Peter. Yes. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, it talks about, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your husband, that if they obey not the word, and so on. But then it goes on to say that, verse 3, don't let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on apparel. Well, there's denominations that jump on that and say you have to have your hair in a bun, you can't wear makeup, and so forth. But they all ignore the last part, where it says, don't put on apparel. So you can't pick and choose what it is you want out of the Bible. It's understanding what is he actually trying to say. What is he trying to communicate there? What is the thought process of the Holy Spirit? If you want to move in faith, if you want to understand what God is saying, we need to learn to speak spirit. And we can. The fortunate thing is we can. It takes a bit of effort. It's not something that is easy, because if it was easy, everybody would do it. It's not. But if we will persevere, if we will persevere and give ourselves to the Word, to understanding the Word, and I talked last week a little bit about how to do that, then God the Holy Spirit will unveil His Word to us in the manner in which He wants it to be understood. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to know and to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying, because Bible meditation is quite different from just memorization. Bible meditation is not making your mind blank or clearing your mind of all thoughts. It is actually filling your mind with the Word of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. Because if you just empty your mind, the enemy will be very happy to come and put thoughts in there for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's turn to that, because that's one of the key verses in understanding how the Holy Spirit works. See, God wants to give us His wisdom. He wants to. The Bible says every promise is yes and amen through Jesus, no matter what it is, no matter how difficult it may seem, every promise is. But there is a criteria and qualifications to many of these Bible verses, to all of them really. You can't just grab it out and say, it's mine, I got it, and that's it. That word, that portion of Scripture, has to be understood in the full thought of what God is saying in it. And then it's got to be received into our spirit, because our intellect, no matter how smart you are, our intellect is not capable to receive it. It's just not. God designed it specifically that it takes your spirit. And of course, it says that very clearly here. Verse 7, it calls it the hidden wisdom. Hidden wisdom. It's hidden. Hidden from the intellect, but open to the spirit. Open to your spirit. Verse 9 talks about the things that God has prepared. And God, verse 10 tells us God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Through His Spirit. Through His Spirit. And then verse 13, it talks about how the Holy Spirit, He takes this hidden wisdom, this thought process of God, and He interprets it, He reveals it, and He communicates it to your spirit. To your spirit. Because your spirit was created by God to connect with God. Now, that's not to say we can't learn anything through our intellect. We can. Many people just relate to God's word through their intellect, and they live a measure of success. But if you want to enter into the deep things of God, if you need a miracle, you have got to enter into spirit to spirit. You've got to enter into that. See, God has revealed them, it says. What's them? The deep things of God. He's revealed them. But He has revealed them in the way that He wants to. Through the Holy Spirit. Because as we abide in God, as we spend quality time with Him, as we commit to Him, the Holy Spirit tells us the things of God. But there are qualifiers. There are qualifiers, and some of the most simple ones that we often violate is that you can't have animosity in your heart towards people. You can't have animosity. It doesn't matter. You know, you just can't have animosity. I don't like this one, I don't like that one. Because that's like building a brick wall between you and God. It just won't work. It won't work. And so one of the most important things we can do is make sure the slate's clean. Make sure it's clean. No bitterness, no resentment, no anger. That it gets dealt with. Because God is a gracious and merciful person. But He has His rules. This is the one on whom I will look, He says, twice in Isaiah. Who's He saying? What's He talking about? Isaiah 57, 15, I believe, and Isaiah 66, something. What does He say? This is the one that gets my attention.
Man with a contrite heart.
Say again?
Man with a contrite and a humble spirit.
A humble spirit and a contrite heart, and who trembles at my word. What does that mean? Humble spirit. Contrite heart. That means someone whose heart is sensitive to God. They're sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, to the person of God. And when the Holy Spirit challenges an area within us, we respond to it. We respond to Him. Because none of us are perfect. Only God is perfect. We all have our own opinions on what things should be done and how they should be done. But it's submitting those opinions under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't have to. Most don't, to be honest. They don't. That's why so few people really get into the depths of God. Very few. Because the price is high. The price is surrender to the will of God and having a humble and contrite heart. And when it says trembles at my word, it means that when we read the word of God, it has a direct and immediate impact on us. Immediate impact. See, sometimes we don't know how to pray for something. There's something that we need or want or desire, and we don't know specifically how to pray for it. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. He'll help us to pray. Because He knows everything, and He knows how to pray. He knows how to pray. And He wants to impart this wisdom of how to pray to you and me. He wants to. How does He do it? By interpreting, revealing, and communicating spiritual truths to spiritual people. But for us to hear it, for us to be able to hear what he's saying, I have got to be connected to the spirit realm. I've got to be. Because it's like a radio. If you have channel AM 580 on and you're looking to listen to CHRI, it's not going to happen. It's on a different channel. God speaks on the spirit channel. That's how he speaks. And if you and I can put ourselves in that place, then we'll hear what he's saying. Because some often without, it's like in John chapter 6, all these people heard what Jesus was saying, and it made no sense. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood? Are you a cannibal? You know, what is he trying to say? It doesn't make any sense in the natural. But Jesus, what was he communicating spiritually? Basically, we'll save that for when we talk about it. He was not talking about eating his real flesh, that somebody should come and take a bite out of his arm. Okay? He was talking about something different. But they were listening with their natural ears. They weren't listening with their spirit. And that's where, when you are born again, you have the capacity to do it. You have the capacity. That doesn't mean you'll do it. It just means you have the capacity to do it. It takes effort to do that. You know, it's like Jesus' disciples, they weren't Sunday morning and Saturday night disciples. Do you know what I mean? They didn't get together with Jesus Sunday morning and then Wednesday night for a Bible study and that was it. They were his disciples 24/7. 24. Now, they still had jobs. They still were fishermen and other things. So they had jobs and families, but they were his disciples every single day. And that's what's required if you want to be able to listen on the spirit realm. It takes a real, serious, continued commitment to be trained, because we're trained to listen to the spirit realm. It's not something that just happens. We learn to do that. And by learning to it, in that process, we're being conformed to the character and the image of Jesus. And learn that there's so many areas that we just take for granted that we can do, but they put a veil between us and God. We put a veil because God is absolutely holy. He's holy. And if you have a critical tongue, don't even bother. Don't even bother to try to get in the spirit because you're not going to get there. The first thing needs to be done is to repent. Repent and say, God. And that's the wonderful thing is God will let us repent and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And be honest. Don't try to say to God, you know, it's not my fault. They did this or that. It doesn't matter what they did. Say, God, I have a critical tongue or I have critical thoughts. And I repent of them. I want to change that, Lord. I want to change that. And God will help us to do that. And that's one of the main things that has to happen in order to move into the deeper things of God. Just move into the deeper things of God. We want to enter into the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, because when we start to grasp these truths, a whole new door opens for us. A whole new world actually opens up for us. It just opens up. Because you can study the Word of God. In fact, let's have a look-see here at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We can study the Word of God, memorize it, and you know, teach it even, and not enter into the flow of the Holy Spirit. Not even recognize the flow. Here we are in John chapter 5. And Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and so forth. And he says to them in 39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." So what's he telling them? And if you really understood these Bible verses, you'd know I'm God's son. That's what he's telling them. But you're reading it with your intellect and through your own filters. And that's what most people do. We read the Word of God with our intellect and through our filters. And we miss what the Holy Spirit wants to impart. But we can change that if you want to. If you want to. Jesus, in John chapter 6, verses 56 to 58, he talks about he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood and so forth. Why would we want to do that? What is eating his flesh? What is eating his flesh, drinking his blood? What is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. So as we literally devour the Word, and His words are Spirit, they're Spirit. So when we enter into that kind of realm, there's an illumination that comes to us because the Holy Spirit is able to do so. The Holy Spirit is then able to reveal the hidden truths of God's Word to your spirit. Not your mind, your spirit. And that's 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 7, if you read through that, you'll see that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to do that. This word was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And these people spent hours studying the Word of God, reading scriptures, but the Word never became spirit to them. It just stayed in their intellect. And their intellect was deeply influenced by their prejudices and by the attitudes of the people around them. So they were unable to get past it and to see what God was really wanting to say with them. True meditation in God's Word causes the Word to become part of your spiritual bloodstream. That's what it does. And if we're having trouble with it, then we need to take the advice that God gave Joshua. Joshua was about to enter into a whole new type of world where there would be all kinds of things to deal with. And what advice did God give him? Let's read it. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8. Well, of course, he told him to be strong and be of good courage. But verse 8 is the key. He said to him, "This book of the law, this word of God, shall not depart from where? Your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night so that you can obey it, basically. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success." Now that sounds an awful lot like John chapter 15, verse 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, live in you, you can ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? See, that's the way God guarantees success. Obedience to His Word. Obedience to His Word. If we can learn... You know why these guys could turn the world upside down? Isn't that what the Bible says about them? These 12 men have turned the world upside down. How'd they do it? They were connected. They were connected to Jesus, and they were in the flow of the Holy Spirit. That enabled them to do things that caused others to say they turned the world upside down. The good news is that same relationship is available to you today and to me. It's available today if we want it. But just like them, we're going to have to pay the price. Price is our pride, humbling ourselves before God, doing His will, not being His advisors. You know, most of the time people want to be God's advisors. He doesn't need advisors. He needs disciples. And we have that opportunity. Just imagine as you can reflect during eternity, what will you wish you had done? Because we're all going to have eternity. Everyone in this room will have eternity. The question is where and how. But you think about that. I mean, people plan for their retirement and go into all kinds of complicated stuff and get advisors and so forth to plan for a period of 20 to 30 years. How few take the time to plan for eternity? How few? Do you ever hear anyone talk to you about, well, I'm planning for my eternity now? Has anyone ever said that to you? No, they don't, because they don't think about it. The enemy has been very successful. Very successful. What's more important, 20, 25 years or 18 bazillion? Your eternity is what's really most important. Where you will spend it and how you will spend it. And you need to think about that, because you're responsible for it. You want to be in harmony with God. You want to be in harmony with God. Amen. Jesus is a spirit. God is a spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The words that I speak to you, He said in John 6:63, are spirit and their truth. I said last week, perfect explanation of that. The words that I speak to you are Greek. If you don't understand Greek, you won't get it. But He says, the words I speak to you are spirit. So if we want to understand Him, we need to understand Him with our spirit. That's how God speaks to us. That's how the clarity of the Holy Spirit brings revelation to us, through our spirit. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to be successful. His way. His way. Not our way or my way, but His way. It's His heaven, His earth. It's His eternity I'm going into. I want to be ready. And so do you. Whether you realize it or not, you want to be ready. There are so many things that we let get in the way. Nothing's worth it to be in the way. Nothing. No matter what it is, let God deal with it. Let Him deal with it. God loves you. He's not going to do mean things to you. He wants it out of your life because He knows how destructive it can be. So Lord, help us this morning. Help us to understand that Your Holy Spirit is there to help us, to guide us, to give us clarity, to tell us things to come, the Bible says in John 16, to tell us the truths, the hidden truths of God. Lord, we want to be able to hear them clearly and accurately. We want to, Jesus. We want the Holy Spirit to be able to speak profoundly, accurately, and truthfully to our spirit. Help us, Lord, to develop that skill, because it's a skill. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, O God, to understand that that's how you impart these wonderful revelations. It's by your Holy Spirit to our spirit. Help me, Father, to cause my spirit to grow even more sensitive and more and more and increasingly more every day to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom, O Lord. Give us understanding. We bless you and honor you this morning, Jesus. Because there's no one like you, Lord. Absolutely no one like God. We bless you, Jesus. Amen. Any questions? Any thoughts on this?